Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Pei. We left off on the very bottom of Daf Ayin Tesam and Beis. We are at Hechi Dami Sris Chama on the last line of Daf Ayin Tesam and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored in memory of Tova Bas Ephraim Toby Snitow by her family, the Neshama Shav Naliyah. It is also sponsored by Eric and Alana Cohn and family in commemoration of Eric's father's yard site, Jeffrey Cohen, Yoshua Aryeh, Ben Davida Cohen's 11th yard site, Chavav Iyar. I can't believe it's 11 years. In the Shamashav and Aliyah, we thank the Cohen's very much. Also sponsored by the Dafyomi Chevra in honor of Zahava Graf's marriage to Roni Kopchik. And we thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding, as I said, on the bottom of Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis at Heichi Dami Sris Chama. And today we're essentially going to discuss two topics, but Shnayim Shein Echad. It's really one topic. We're going to talk about Sris and Islanders. So they're sort of like the male and female versions of people who are going to be unable to have children because of these physical issues. And we're going to discuss the difference between a Sris Chama and a Sris Adam and all the details of a Sris. And then we're going to go into the simanim of a sris and the simanim of an islandess. That's going to be on Amud Beis. So let's begin. Again, we are holding at the bottom line of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Hechi Dami Sris Chama. What is a Sris Chama? Rabbi Akiva had said that a Sris Chama is someone who never had a Shas HaKosher, that he was someone who was born as a Sris. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shalom Ra'a Shah Achas B'Kashrus. So it's a person who never had a single moment B'Kashrus. He was born as a Sris. So Minayadina. But how can you look at a person, examine a person, and know that he was born that way, to know that he's considered a Sris Chama? Maybe he was born kosher and then he became a Sris. How would you be able to tell? Some rabbi kolamatil mayim ve'ino osakipa. When the person urinates, if he urinates in sort of an upward direction and it doesn't make an arc when he urinates, so then you know that he's a Sris Chama, that he must have been born that way. So says Gemara, mi may have I? From where does such a Srisus come from? How does that happen? So says Gemara, meaning what has to go wrong during pregnancy in order for a person to become a Sris Chama? So says Gemara, da afya ime, when the mother was pregnant, she was baking bread in an oven, betiara, in broad daylight, in the middle of the day, where the combination of the chom hayom and the chom hatanur, the combination of the heat of the day and the heat of the oven, caused an overheating of the body, and therefore caused the baby to become a Sris. And also, v'shas yeshichra marka, she drinks diluted beer, so that also will cause the baby to become a Sris. So Amar Rav Yosef, haynu d'shamana la'ami, da'amar kol shimeim alakoy v'lo yadana mainihu. So Rav Yosef comments, oh, that's what I once heard Rabbi Ami say, that whenever someone has already been affected from the time that he was already in his mother's womb, and I didn't know what that came from, that I never understood until I heard this hesber. I never knew how that happens in the mother's womb, that the baby becomes a Sris, but I always knew that Rabbi Ami said that Sris Chama is something that happens, some event that happens in the mother's womb that causes the baby to be a Sris. Now I know exactly what that event is. Now I know exactly how that comes about. So ask the Gemara, why is an Eisha Sris from Leida, Pata from Chalitza, according to Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara asks, granted he's Eino Osakipa, so you know that he's a Sris Mileida, but Velecho Shema Hivri Benatayim, maybe he had a moment of health in between, and he was Ra'i Laholid at some point in his life, and therefore, even though he later became a Sris again, he had a Shasa Kosher, he was Ra'i Laholid, and Rabbi Akiva should have been Mechayev, his wife, Misafek in a Chalitza. So says Gemara, no, Kivin the Tchilas of Esof Alak, Lo Chashinan. We don't have any such Chashash. If we know that he was born this way, based on the fact that he's not able to urinate in an arc, and we know that he is that way right now, so there's no reason to assume that some point in between he must have been healthy. There's no such assumption. The Aruch Lenari asks the Avi Iskash, what's the Havamin of the Gemara? We always have Dinam of Chazaka throughout all of Shas. We always assume that if something is, we assume it always was, and if something was, we assume it remains that way. So over here, you have both chazakas. You have a chazakat meir kara, and you have a chazakat ashta. Chazakat meir kara, that he was a Sris when he was born, a chazakat ashta, that he is a Sris now. It goes against everything we know in all of Shas to have a havamina, that at some point in between it changed. The Aruch Linar says, yeah, that's by a domain. When you have an inanimate object, then we assume chazakas. We assume a chazaka that something was, a chazaka that something is. But by a bal chai, by its very nature, when a person grows, when a person develops, so they mature, they change. People are always changing. They're gaining weight, they're losing weight, they lose their hair, they turn gray. All sorts of things happen when a person gets older. So we assume that the body changes as it gets older. So when it comes to a bal chai, we're always going to assume that something had changed. And that's why the Gemara at Hava Mina, then maybe we should be choshesh that he became a non-Sris in between. So ask Gemara, Masav Rav Mari. So Rav Mari challenges from the Mishnah that discusses mumim of a Bechor Behema. The Mishnah says that a Bechor that has a certain type of mum in his eye, he has like these little white dots in his eye for 80 days, that's a mum kavua. So the Mishnah explains, how do I know that that was there for the entire 80 days? Meaning to know that it's a mum kavua when you're being bodek a Bechor for mumin. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, both can also shalosh pa'amim b'toch shmonim yom. You just have to check the animal 3 times in 80 days. And for all 3 bedikos, you see that it has that mum, so then you know it's a mum kavua. So if you check a bechor less than 3 times, we're choshish that maybe the mum is not a mum kavua, that it was it was there at the beginning, but then it got better in between, and whatever you're seeing right now is a brand new mum. So why, when it comes to a sris, are we not choshish that the srisus was there from the beginning, and then was Nisrape, and then came back? Did we check 3 times? We know that he was born that way, and now we're checking him right now. So how could we assume that it was always there? When it comes to a pgam in a particular aver, like in the eye, we're choshish that maybe it was Nisrape, and then it got bad again. And that's why, by a bukhar, you have to check 3 times, otherwise we're going to be choshish that something happened in between. But l'kule gufa lo cheshinon, when the pgam is in the entirety of the body, like srisus, which is in the entirety of the body, so then we're not going to be choshesh that it was nisrape benetayim. So by sris milay, then we're not choshesh that it was nisrape benetayim. It's interesting, the Gemara makes the assumption that srisus is bekule gufe. Srisus, one would have argued, is be'ever echad, that's his reproductive organ. That's when he's unable to function like a normal person. But other than that, he's perfectly healthy. So that's what the Rishonim explain, that the srisus is a symptom of a larger illness. He has an illness that was caused by his mother baking in the heat of the day or whatever. It was caused by drinking the diluted beer, but that's an illness of the entire body. One of the symptoms is that he's a sris. So that's why it's considered something that's bekule gufe. The Ritva explains, the svara is that an aver, a particular limb can be healed, but a sris chama, his entire body is weakened, and it's not common that someone who is just in a weakened state overall is going to be able to heal easily. Meaning when one limb goes down, the fact that he's an overall healthy person will help that limb heal. But when a person has nothing going for him, when everything is in a weakened state, then it's not going to be able to heal. So I don't know if that's a medical explanation, but that's a svara that the Ritva gives. So in the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Lazar Omer Loki. Rabbi Lazar said, no, a Sris Chama could do Chalitza and Recholitz L'Ishto, because a Sris Chama has Yeshlo Refua, as opposed to a Sris Adam, as opposed to a person who suffered some terrible accident or something. That's where Rabbi Eliezer said he cannot do chalitza. So ask the Gemara Raminu, but I'll ask you a stira. We find elsewhere that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sris chama cannot do chalitza, because there's a Mishnah Maseches Nida that tells us as follows: Ben Eshrim Shana v'lo hevi shtei sa'aros. If a person is 20 years old and he does not yet have simane gadlus, and now there's a yavama that he faces to do yibum with, and Bezin is mechayev the yavama to be misyabim or to do chalitza. So in order to pater from yibum chalitza and to be matir l'shuk, yaviu raya shu ben Eshrim. The relatives of the yavama are going to have to bring a raya that this fellow is 20 years old, v'hu asris, and they'll bring a raya that he has simanim of a sris, and since he's a sris, the halach is lo cholitz v'lo miyabim, then he won't have to do chalitz or yibum. The woman won't require chalitz or yibum. Bas Esrim below Yeshtei Sarus, if the woman is 20 years old and she does not yet have Simanei Gadlus, and the husband dies without any children, and she's facing what ostensibly looks like a Yibum situation, so Basin is going to require Yibum or Chalitza, in order to exempt her from Yibum or Chalitza, to be Matir or Lashuk, Yaviu Raya Shihi Bas Esrim, the relatives of the Yavama will have to bring a Raya that she's Taka 20 years old, Vihi Islandess, and that she's has Simanim of an Islandess, and then you'll know that she's an Islandess, and therefore Lo Chaletz as Lo Mesiav Emes. Then she's not going to require Chalitza or Yibum. Divrei Beis Hillel. Beishamai Omrim Zev Zev Bnei Shmona Esrei. Beishamai says it doesn't need to be 20 years old, whether it be a male or a female. When they're 18 years old and they're of Shtei Sarus, already we say that Lo Choltzin V'lo Miyabmin, if you could prove that they're a Sris or an Islandess. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hazachar Kedivrei Beis Hillel, that when it comes to a male, we follow the age that Beis Hillel follows in terms of determining that a person is a Sris, that when he's 20 years old and he's Lo Hevi Shtei Sarus, he doesn't do Chalitza or Yibam. But when it comes to a female, we always, the Rabbi Eliezer says that probably we always go with the younger age. When it comes to women, women tend to mature more quickly, and therefore lack of maturation at an earlier age for a woman is a sign of idleness than it would be for a man, a sign of sris. So already at the age of 18, if she doesn't have shtei saros, she already don't do chalitza or yibum. And the reason to be mechalik is maharis level because a woman always has shtei saros. She becomes a gadol at bas mitzvah at 12, and a boy becomes a gadol at 13. A woman physically matures before a man does. So if the nekeva doesn't have shtei saros by the time she reaches 18, it's the equivalent of a man at the age of 20, and therefore chalitza and yibum are not going to be required. So you see what does Rabbi Eliezer say in this mishnah, that a sris chama doesn't do chalitza, because this din of a sris not having shtei saros is only by a sris mileda. That's not by a sris alidei adam. And in our mishnah, Rabbi Lazar had said that a Sris Chama does Chalitza, meaning Rabbi Lazar participating in this conversation. At what age do we assume that a person becomes a Sris Chama, and therefore he doesn't do Chalitza and Yibum, participating in the conversation about what age that happens? Rabbi Lazar should have said, no age. Sris Chama always does Chalitza and Yibum. A Sris Chama is always kosher for Chalitza. But you see, he participates in the conversation, he assumes Sris Chama does not do Chalitza. So it's a steer in Rabbi Eliezer, so answers the Gemara. I'm a Rabbi Bar Dikuli, I'm a Shmuel, Chazer Bar Rabbi Eliezer. Not a steer, he changed his mind. That one of the Mishnayos was taught after the other one of the Mishnayos. So you have a Mishnah Masechas Yevamos, you have a Mishnah Masechas Nida, and Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind from one to the other. So it says the obvious question, Ibailu, Mehe Hadarbe. Which one did Rabbi Eliezer change his mind from? Did he first say our Mishnah that a Sris Chama does Chalitza, and then the Mishnah Nida, like the order of Shas, that he doesn't do Chalitza? Or maybe he first said that a Sris Chama doesn't do Chalitza, like a Nida, and then he said that he does do Chalitza, like it says over here. So the Gemara brings a raya that Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah was the later Rabbi Eliezer, was the later version of Rabbi Eliezer. So Tashima says, I'll bring a raya. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Sris Chama Choletz V'Choltzim L'Ishto. If Sris Chama does Chalitza and we are Choletz L'Ishto, we could do Chalitza on his wife. She came to Strap in Balaxandria Shom Mitzrayim, because we find B'midon, we find in the mid of such a srisus that they're misrape in Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim. So since we see in this brisa that Rabbi Eliezer says, like it says in our Mishnah, it's mistavered that that's his primary shita, that's his final shita of from the two places. Meaning our Mishnah, this brisa, are in concert with each other. That must be the more authoritative version of Rabbi Eliezer. And what he says in the Mishnah Maseches Nida is therefore ignored. Or Rashi says another possibility that the raya is from the fact that this Bryce of Rabbi Eliezer brings a Raya Lidvarov from the Mice of Alexandria, that we do see that people are Misrape from Srisus, so it must be that he was Somech on that, and therefore he was Choser from his original, meaning what would make him change his mind? Meaning, generally speaking, when Talmid Chacham formulate an opinion, they formulate an opinion. So what would have made them change their mind? It must be that there was some evidence that was brought to the table that wasn't there before. So since this Bryce brings evidence, so that must have been the cause of Rabbi Eliezer changing his mind, and therefore this Brysa and our Mishnah must be the final and authoritative version of the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says another possible teretz to the Stira in Rabbi Eliezer. Again, the first teretz was not a Stira, he changed his mind, he's a human being, human beings are allowed to change their mind. The other possibility is Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Li'olam Lo Hadarbe, that Rabbi Eliezer says that Rabbi Eliezer, the Itana never changes his mind. When the Mishnah Maseches Nida says that in the cave of Bashmona Esrei is an islandess and a Zachar Ben Esrim is a Sris, he wasn't saying that as far as being pattering from Yibam and Chalitza. He was saying it as far as being Koveh Azman, where the Sris and the islandess are considered like a Gadol to be Chayiv and Onshim Minatora, that before the age of 18 for a Nekeva, before the age of 20 for a Zachar, they're still a Katan or a Katana because they don't have Shtei Saros. Once they get to that age, then they're a Gadol. But it has nothing to do with Yibam v'Chalitza. Rabbi Lezer still needs to define the age of Srisos, the age where we're going to say that this person is a Sris or an Islandess, in order to be able to know when you should make the Bar Mitzvah party, when the father should say a Baruch Shapatrani, at what point he becomes Chayiv in Mitzvahs like a Gadol. Now, Sris and an Islandess do not grow Sa'aros of Gadlus like everybody else does. The Mishnah Maseches Nida that we quoted before mentions that, and therefore their Gadlus is Nikva Bishanim, right? Their becoming of age is Nikva only by a number of years. Again, 20 according to Beis Hillel, 18 according to Beis Shammai, and 20 and 18 according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we're going to have right now. Itmar. Achal Chelev, let's say a Nekeva that doesn't have Shtei Saros eats Chelev, where normally you Chayiv Malkus, mi ben Shtei Mesrei V'yamechan ad ben Shmona Esrei. Even though we're using the term ben, by the virtue of the fact that we're using the numbers 12 and 18, obviously we're talking about a woman, right? So from the age of 12 to the age of 18, V'noldebo Simani Sris, and Lachar Mikan Hevi Shtei Saros. And then you have Simani Sris, and then it was Hevi Shtei Saros. Even though, again, that's also obviously Belashon Zachar, but it means Simanei Avinus, meaning a Sris is what we call a Zachar. That's what the way Rashi understands. This whole thing is really about a Nekeva, right? That's how Rashi and Tosfos say that. We're talking about a Nekeva. It can't be about a Zachar, because Gemara says Shtei Mesrei. By a Zachar, Hava Saros is Shlosh Esrei, not Shtei Mesrei. Why does it say Lashon Zachar? Lav Davka. And when the Gemara says Simanei Sris, not Simanei Island, is also Lav Davka. It's just that since in the beginning it says Achal, so the Gemara continues to speak Balashon Zachar, even though it's talking about a Nekeva. That's Rashi and Tosfos. Happens to be not all the Rishonim are going to read it that way, obviously, meaning if the whole Gemara is reading like a Zachar, obviously there are going to be a group of Rishonim that are not going to read it to be talking about a Nekeva. So the Ramban says this is so dochak, to say that we're using the word Sris when we mean islandess in the sugya of Sris and islandess, meaning this is like really important, especially when we're making distinctions between a Sris and an islandess, and you can use the word Sris when we're talking about an islandess. But Rashi had a good point. If we were talking about a Zachar, it shouldn't say mi ben shtemes reshan of yomechad, it should be ben shloshes reshan of yomechad, because a person becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13. So the Ramban explains that the sugi is going libet demandiyamer and maseches nida that tochazman kila achazman, that a chatan ben yud beishan of yomechad is maybe saros, he's already a gadol. We don't pass like that shita, but that's how, there is such a shita in Tanaim. So our whole sugya taka is talking about a boy, says the Ramban, but it's going like the shita that you could become a bar mitzvah already at the age of 12, and therefore a sris becomes a gadol at the age of 12 years and one day, because that's already the zman hava asaros by a katan who's not a sris. The Rashba and the Ritva reject that, because Rav himself holds in Maseches Nida Daf Memhei that tochas man kilfnei asman, and therefore they say like Rashi and Tosfos. So that's the machlokas Rishonim of Yibro. We're going to read it like Rashi and Tosfos. So we're talking about in the Keva. So you have a girl who ate chaylev somewhere between the age of 12 and 18, and Noldebel Simani Sris, and then we discover that she's an islandess, and then she's Hevi Shtei Saros. So do we consider that her to be a gedola already from the time that she's 12 years old, and therefore she's Chayiv Malkus, or maybe she only becomes a gedola when she reaches 18? So Rav Amar Nasa Saros L'Mafreya, that she becomes an islandess L'Mafreya from the time that she was 12 years old, and therefore she's now going to get Malkus for the Isser of eating Chaylev when she was 12. Shmuel Amar Katan Ayibol Shashah, and Shmuel says no, she was a Katana at that time. It's only at the age of 18 that she became a gedola, and therefore she does not get Malkus for eating that Chaylev, because at that time she was a Katana. Now a person who is ma'anes or mefata and nara besula has to pay a knas of chamishim kesef to the father. There's a machlokes or meir lechamim maseches ksubos whether a person is ma'anes a katana, a katana, not a nara, is chayiv knas. Rav Meir holds that the chayiv knas does not apply to a katana. It's only by a nara, mibash 12 shana v'yamechad, until 6 months after 12 shana v'yamechad, until from the age of 12 to 12 and a half. That's when she, at 12 and a half, she becomes a bulgaris. She's not even a nara anymore. And the chacham holds that whenever it says nara in the Torah, it means nara and not bulgaris. It means a girl who's not yet at the age of bulgaris. But it does not exclude a katana. And therefore, Rachman al son, a person is ma'anes or mefata katana is a pita katana is ones, right? Probably the first system of law, I would imagine, the first system of law to recognize something called statutory rape is the Torah. So is mefata a katana? So he pays a knas according to the chachabim. So maskel Rav Yosef, the Rav, according to the shita of Rav, that an islandess becomes a gedola lima freya from the time that she was 12 years old, even though she's an islandess. Islandess Rav Meir yehela knas. Someone who's ma'anes or mefata an islandess should have to pay the knas, because according to Rav, when she became an islandess at the age of 18 and she does not yet have shtei saros, it's huvar adover l'mafreya that she was a gedola already from the age of 12. So it turns out she's like every other woman that from that became a gedola, and she has yimei narus for 6 months, and afterwards she becomes a bugaris. And during that time, someone who's ma'anes or mefata her should have to pay the knas when later on it's revealed that at that time she was a nara. Whereas in Maseches Ksubos and Daf Lamed Hayom Beis, the Braisa says that an islandess doesn't get a knas, and that must be going like the shita of Rabbi Meir. So Amar Le Abaye Mikatnusa Yotza LeBegar. So Abaye says no, an islandess goes straight from katnus to bagrus. She doesn't have a tkufa of narus between being a ketana and being a bogeres. When she turns 12 years old, she stops being a ketana, and right away she's a bogeres, because the narus is a tkufa of 6 months after she has simane habagrus, after she has shtei saros. An islandess never has those simanim, and therefore she skips that entire stage of nara. So even though Rav says it goes back to Mafreya to consider her a gedola, yes, a gedola, but a gedola meaning a bogeres. She never has a 6 month in between period of being a nara. So Yosef says to Abaye, you're correct, but kol ki hani mili ma'aliyasa halavai, we should hear such correct and on the mark type of teachings, yis amru mishmai, should be said in my name, that I should be so zocha to be mechavein to the amita shel Torah. Detanya, ena saris nidon ki ben soru mar, lufi shein ben soru mar nidon, elam chsim zocha natachton, that a saris can never become a ben soru mora, because a saris never has shtei saros of godless, so he never has chasim zaken atachton, which is a certain amount of pubic hair that has grown, so it's not shaykh to be a ben soru mora. Ve'in islandess nidonus kinar murasa, and an islandess that's mezana when she was in arusa within the 6 months after she became a gadola does not have the din of a skila like any other naru murasa where she's chayiv skila. Rather, she's like a regular eshes ish where she'd be chayiv chenek, and the reason is shemikat nusa yatzal lebegar, because from the time she became an islandess who goes straight from being a ketana to being a bogeres. So there is no tkufa of narus in between. So you see Mufurish and the Braisa like Abaye, that an islandess does not have this tkufa of narus, and therefore the Rav Yosef said to Abaye, you're mechavin lamita shel Torah, because you have explicitly, like you said, you were unaware that there was a Braisa like this. Braisa says exactly what you said, that there's such a din, that an islandess goes straight from being a ketana to being a bogeres. So the Gemara discusses now a little bit more detail about a saris and an islandess. So I'm Rabbi Avahu. Simani saris, the simanim of a saris, of an islandess, and the simanim of an islandess, uben shmona, and someone who's born in the eighth month of pregnancy, and there are simanim that he's fully matured as a baby, that he has grown hair and fingernails. Ain osin ben maisa. We don't do any maisa to be koveya with certainty that there were no sa'aros, because they're Swiss and islandess, and to say that they're ready gedolim. And we don't do a maisa to be koveya bevadaus that the ben shmona is a ben kayama. Achiu ben Esrim, until the Swiss and the islandess and the ben shmona are 20 years old. If up until that time they don't, they still don't have hair, they still haven't had shtei saros, then we're koveya that they're gedolim. And if the ben shmona remains alive until that time, then we know that he's a ben kayama. Meaning, we cannot say with certainty that a person is a saris or an islandess, or even a child born in the eighth month of pregnancy, that he's a ben kayama, that he's going to survive until you reach pretty advanced age, 18 or 20 years old, and only then we could be certain that the boy is a Saris, the girl is an Islandess, or that this baby that was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, which the Gemara always assumes that the 8th month of pregnancy, that the child is not going to be able to make it, so until they live a significant amount of time. So ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yavo, Ben Shmona, Mika Chai, wait, is that even possible? A baby born in the 8th month of pregnancy is able to live? We never even heard of such a thing, that a baby is able to survive. Baruch Hashem, in our generation, we hear of such a thing plenty. It's pretty good, you know, when the doctors that deal with preemies, that's a pretty late preemie. So, but Ben Shmona, Mika Chai, Vatanya, but the Bryce says, Ben Shmona, Reu Ke'eved, Va'asu L'taltalo, he's mukts on Shabbos. He's like a rock. When the mother's not even allowed to lift him in order to nurse him, because we assume that he's not going to survive. So he has a status of muksa. So the woman has to just lean over and nurse the baby. And we're not choshesh that the mother's going to be metaltal the baby, because a ben shmona is enu chay klal. He doesn't live at all. So it's a kashan, Rabbi Yavo, that says a ben shmona is able to live. What's the sakana? If the baby's not going to live anyway, so why do we call that a sakana? Mipnei sakana, the mother leans over and nurses him. So the Rashi says sakana of the mother and the baby. Sakana shnehem haben v'ha'em shlo yar b'chalav adadim v'te'anes v'tamus. That it's a sakana for the mother also to not be able to expel her milk. So the Achronim wonder about this. That a ben shmona is like an evan. Why is it a sakana for the baby? I mean, it's one thing to say sakana for the mother. I get it. She's a person that's going to live. That's what the Ritva says. Is all that also that there's no chash of a sakana of a ben shmona. He's ke'evan. Rashi and Tosfos Maseches Shabbos say that it's sakana for the mother by having so much chalav bidadeha, and it will be mevi'ali decholi. So they leave out the part about it being a sakana for the baby. Meaning ad kidekach, the Gemara assumed that it doesn't even have a status of pikuach nefesh for this baby. The baby's not going to live anyway. But bottom line is, Rabbi Avo seems to be saying that the baby can live, and if it lives until the age of 18 or 20, then you know that the baby is going to survive. So when Rabbi Avo said that the baby can survive, that's when Gamru Simanov, that you see that he looks like a Ben Kayama, he doesn't look like a preemie. That's what Rabbi Avo said. Still, we can't be sure that he's a Ben Kayama until he's 20 years old. But the bracelet says that he's like an Evan, and that he's not even that he's Muksa and all of that. That's when it's not Nigmar Simanov, and therefore we treat him like Muksa. Titania, the Brisa brings a raya to Rabbi's this answer. Ezu ben Shmona, kol shalo kalulo chadashav. When do we say that a ben Shmona is considered to be ke'evan, when he's considered to be like a rock and has a muksa status? Whenever it's a lo kalulo chadashav, that he was not full term. Rabbi Omer simanim mochichin alav. There are simanim that will be mochiach that he's not a ben kayama, and they are sa'aro utzi parnav shalo gamro. See that he doesn't have hair, he doesn't have fingernails. So Gemara's medayik time of lo gamru sounds like it's because his hair never grew, his fingernails never grew. Ha gamru, but if his hair or his fingernails grew, amrinan hai bar shivahu. Then we must assume that probably it's earlier in the pregnancy than we thought. That is really a 7-month pregnancy, and in the 7th month it's nigmar yitziraso vishtayu ehudi ishtayi. And the fact that he was not born right away at the end of the 7 months of pregnancy is because he stayed in the mother's womb and he came out afterwards, and meaning he was really on a different track of pregnancy. So we know the baby was born in the 8th month, so we thought, oh, must be a preemie, but it could be a post me. I don't know. It could be that the baby was born a little late. That really was the Gemara always assumes that there are two tracks of pregnancy. That there's a Yoledes Letisha, there's a 9-month pregnancy. There's a whole other type of pregnancy called the Yoledes Leshiva, and full term is Shiva. So it could be that he's a 7-month pregnancy, and he just decided he wasn't ready to come out yet. So he stayed inside the mother for a little extra time. But he's a Ben Kayama for sure in such a case. So if he's the way to tell is if he's nolad simanim, if he has these simanim that he's fully developed inside the mother. So ask Gemara El Hadavid Rava Tosfa Uvda, the fact that Rava Tosfa Paskin Alacha Lemaisa Be Isha Shalach Bailu Medina Siyam Veishtahi Ad Tresi Archishata, a woman whose husband went away to Medina Siyam and stayed there for a full year, and now the woman gives birth, l'chora, that's a pretty good raya that the vlad is a mamzer. The husband's been in Medina Siyam, she never got a get from him, and 12 months later, while the husband is still in Medina Siyam, she gives birth to a baby. Zmana Yibor doesn't last more than the gestational period is 9 months. The husband hasn't been here for the last 12 months. And nevertheless, v'achshrei, Rav Tosfot paskin, that the baby's not a mamzer, because he says we assume that the baby was notzer from the Bias Habal 12 months earlier. Now we had the Gemara Yitzira was 9 months later, but the baby just hung out inside the mother for another 3 months. So, Kiman, which sheet is that going like when Rav Tosfa says that the Uber could stay around inside the mother after Kalilu Chadashav for another 3 months? L'chora, Kirebi, Damar Mishtah. That's exactly what Rebbe's saying, that in a 7 month pregnancy it could happen that the baby's going to stick around until the 8th month before coming out. So, Mechitesi, that in a 9 month pregnancy won't be the same. So that's what Rav Tosfa said, that even when the baby's born 12 months later, you assume that it was a 9 month pregnancy and the baby just decided to stick around. So it's a kash on Rav Tosfa, because Rebbe's a das yachin and the Rabbanan are cholik on Rebbe. So it's one thing to say, okay, now I know which shita he's going like, but it's not okay to go like a das yachin. You're supposed to go like the shita of the Rabbim. The Rishonim raised the question, why does the Gemara only ask on Rav Tosfa? Why don't we ask on Rabbi Avahu? Because Rabbi Avahu also seemed to have said the same thing. So the Rishonim say that Rav Tosfa said this as far as halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Avahu could be that he only said you have to wait until he's 20 years old to know to know whether he's a ben kayam or not. Lefi that shita that siman lemochichan alav, but it's lav dafka that he's passing that way. Also, it could be that's how the Rashba and the Ritva say. Also, the Ritva says it could be that it's not a kasha on Rabbi Avahu who holds like Rabbi because it's mistaver. Divrei Rabbi are mistaver, but Rav Tosfa is kasha because we passing halacha lemaisa because he's passing halacha lemaisa like Rabbi. Meaning, all Rabbi Avahu was saying was that it's mistaver ka Rabbi, but he wasn't saying that we passing like Rabbi. The point is that Avad Rav Tosfa uvda that he did halacha lemaisa. So this is a problem. How could he do halacha lemaisa like a das yachid against the rabbin? So says Mar Kivin Dikar Mshim Gamliel to Amar Mishtahim. Karabim of it, that since Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also holds that sometimes the baby sticks around inside the mother, so that's considered like paskin like the Rabbim. It's no longer a das yachid because we've matzino lo chaver le Rebbe. We found that there's someone else that says like Rebbe, and that is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The tiny Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer kol shasha shloshim yom ba adam eno nefel. If a vlad survives for 30 days after his birth, so he's not considered a nefel because the nefel would never live 30 days, and therefore he seems to be saying even if it was a ben shmona, even if it was a baby was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, we assume he's becheskas, that he's ben kayama, that we're told that the Gemar Ibur is 7 months later, and it was only 7 months, and the baby just stuck around. So Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Srischama, who can we say with certainty is a Srischama? So Kol Shu Ben Esrim, Vlo Hevi Shtei Saros. If someone is 20 years old and he doesn't have Shtei Saros, Vafilu Hevi Lachar Mikan, even if when he's 21, all of a sudden he has Shtei Saros, Harayu Kisris L'chol Dvar, it doesn't matter. By then it's too late. We treat him like a sris l'chol devarav. Ve'elu ein simanav. And here are the telltale signs of a sris. Kol shein l'zakan. He doesn't have a beard. Usaro lakoi. His hair is very thin. It's a ubasaro machlik. His flesh, his skin is very smooth, like a woman's skin. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Rabbi Yehuda ben Yair. Kol shein meimav malin resichos. If his meir glayim doesn't make bubbles. V'yesh omrim kalamatu mayim ve'eno sakipa. And others say another simon is that when he urinates, it doesn't make an arc when the urine comes out of his body. V'yesh omrim kol sheshichva zaro docha. When the shichva zaro is when the shichva zaro the semen that comes out of him is clear like water. V'yesh omrim kol she'ein meimei raglov machmitzin. That if the meiraglayim, his urine doesn't become very foul smelling when it remains in a kli. Acherim omrim, others say another simon called shorochitz bimosa gshamim vein besaro mala hevel. That if he bathes in the winter months and there's no steam that comes off of his body. Rav Shimon ben Elazar omer kol shekolu lakoi vein nikar bein ish li isha. Another simon is from his voice that he sounds like a woman. His voice sounds like the voice of a woman. So that's another simon that he's a Swiss. Ve'ezui islandis, and what are the simanim to say that a person, that a woman is an ayinless. Kol shi bas esrim b'lo yevi shtei saros. If she's 20 years old and she does not yet have shtei saros, v'afilu yevi alach mikani. Even if afterwards she ends up having shtei saros, harei kailinus l'chol dvareha. So she has the status of an ayinless for all halachos. Ve'elu ein simanah. And the following are the simanim of an ayinless. Kol shein ladadim. If she never grew breasts, u'maskasha b'shas tashmish. And tashmish amita is very difficult for her. Rav Shimon Gamliel lomer. Kol shein, meaning none of these simanim on their own will make a woman definitively an islandist. We're saying that all of these together are indicators of an islandist. Another simon, she doesn't have her body is not shaped like a woman that where she's wider at the hips. If her voice sounds like a man's voice, she has a thick deep voice where people who hear her will think that she's a man. That's also a simon of an islandist. The Gemara brings a machlokas. In order to be koveya that he's a sris, do you need all of the simanim or any one of the simanim? So itmar simani sris. Rafuna amar achiu kulam. Rabbi Yochan amar afilu be'echad mehen. Rafuna says not all of these simanim that are mentioned in the Braisa will determine that a person is a sris, whereas Rabbi Yochan says even one of these simanim will make the person a sris. Tosis points out that Rafuna is only to make a person a vadai sris, but as far as safek, Rafuna would be moda that a simon echad is at least a cause for concern, is at least a red flag that maybe you have to assume that the person is a safek sris. So heicha dehevi shtei saros bezakan kuli amlo pligi. Look, if the person has shtei saros and his beard, then everyone is going to agree to adshiu kulan that he's not going to be nikva as a sris unless he has all of the simanim of a sris. Tosfos raises the question. Wait, we just said one of those simanim is shtei saros bezakan. So how can you say ad shehei kulan? If he has shtei saros bezakan, he obviously doesn't have kulan. He's missing all of the simanim. He's missing one of the key simanim of a sris, because one of the simanim is shtei saros bezakan. So it can't be that he has kolos simanim. So Tosfos points out that the simon of ein lo zakan means that it's not nismali zakano. That if not nismali zakano, but if he has a few hairs growing out of his face, that he still has that simon of ein lo zakan. But if he has shtei saros that are growing out of his face, so then you need to have all of the rest of the simanim in order to be machzikim as a saris. Ki pligi b'shalo hevi. The whole machlokas is if he doesn't have two hairs in his beard, that's where Rav Huna says that he's not going to be nikva as a saris unless he has all of the simanim. And Rabbi Yochanan says that one simon is enough to be koveya that he's in fact a saris. The Tosfos raises the question also that we had said on Amud Aleph that in order to know whether he's a saris mileda, if he's matil mayim and it doesn't make an arc when he's matil mayim, so then you know that he's a saris mileda. But if you need all of the simanim, the other simanim are not nikarim mileda, so how do you know that he's taka sris mileda if you only have one of the simanim that you could check from that point? So the Tosfos suggests that if mileda he doesn't urinate with an arc and there and then the other simanim come each simon in the right time, so then it's mochiach that the simon of Eino Sekipa is mochiach and all the other simanim that all of them were there from Leda, that you know that he must have been born with all of these simanim. But that which Rabbi Ravu said to the Rabbanan, go and check Rav Nachman, who had some of the simanim sris, ibisaru mala hevel, go see if he has all the simanim sris, go see that when if he bathes in the wintertime where there's steam emits from his body, if his basar is mala hevel, then he'll be missing one of the simani sris, and then he'll be mutulav bakal. Then we'll know that he's not a saris. So esav lebras, and if that's the case, he's the best bachur in the yeshiva. I'll give him my daughter as a wife. I'll be happy to marry my daughter off to him as long as I know that he's not a psul kal. So just make sure that when he bathes, that we go to the bathhouse and then look at him and see if steam comes off of his body. So keman, who is that assuming like? Who's Rabbi Ravu assuming like? Kirafuna. He must be assuming like Rafuna that if you don't have any of these, if you're missing any one of these simanim, then you're not a saris. So it says, well, lo, it could even go like Rabbi Yochanan, that even the simon echad is enough to determine srisos. That which Rabbi Baravur required all the simanim, because Rav Nachman, siki dikna havilei, he had hairs in a number of places on the beard, so in that case, even Rabbi Yochanan would be moda, that he's not muksuk as a saris, when he doesn't have all of the simanim. Then the Mishnah said, a saris lo chalitz lo miyabim, doesn't do chalitza nor does yibum. So the Gemara is medayik. Katani saris dum yada elinus. The Mishnah seems to equate a saris and an elinus. Ma elinus bidei shemayim, av saris bidei shemayim. That just like an elinus is talking about someone that was an elinus bidei shemayim, the saris is also. It's not that an accident happened to him. It's that he was born that way. It's bidei shemayim. V'stama k'Rabbi Akiva. And therefore it's meduyak that the Mishnah is assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, damri bidei adam in bidei shemayim lo. Because Rabbi Akiva is the one that said at the beginning of the Mishnah that if whose sirus happened bidei adam, yeah, that's someone who can zokek a woman to chalitza, and he himself would require chalitza. But if he's a saris bidei shemayim, then he's out of the parsha of chalitza. So you see that the Stam Mishnah seems to be assuming like the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with the two dots at the bottom of the page. Let's see.